Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
This tonight is the last night of our series on peace. I've called it Give Peace a Chance. And the reason I call it that is because if we will allow or let God's peace to come, He's given it to us. Once we are born again, we are given His peace. But there's all this stuff that challenges the peace of God in our lives. And so we've got to let or allow it. And we're going to get to that verse here in just a minute. But we've got to let or allow His hearts. So tonight, we talked about a couple of different things the last several weeks. First week, we talked about, and we're dealing with how we can let or allow God's peace to rule in our lives. And the first week, we talked about God's Word. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And so His Word brings peace. And so we need to let His Word get in us and us into His Word. Then last week, we talked about having a spiritual mind, letting the Spirit of God influence and direct us instead of just doing our own thing. And peace comes through that from the Spirit of God. Okay? And so Colossians 3 in verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts and lives." Tonight, we're going to look at how we can have the kind of peace that rules our minds. Or the Bible puts it, surpasses understanding. And this is one of the greatest promises in the Bible about peace is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Wow. Well, I like your phone ever better. That's good. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He talks about a peace that surpasses understanding. That's a lot of peace. The Bible tells us how to get it. Let me pause for just a moment here because I just realized I forgot to mention next Wednesday night we're not having class. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, we're letting everybody get ready for Thanksgiving. And so next Wednesday night we won't be meeting, but we will the following Wednesday for our prayer and worship service, and then kicking off the first part of the year, December series. Yeah. That's why pray about everything, including the mic. Yes. Philippians 4, 6 says, again, don't worry about anything. This is in the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Okay, it's one of those nights, huh?
Test check. I'm trying to think of a song. It just won't come. I better just get back to teaching. So Philippians 4, 6, again, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's a big challenge, isn't it? Not to worry about anything. But he doesn't just say it. Doesn't just put a period there. Don't worry about anything, period. He doesn't. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And this is, it's a constant and consistent theme throughout the Bible. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, says, pray in the Spirit in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, never stop praying. It's good advice, isn't it? If we're going to do this, then what we're going to have to do is get to know something about God. And that is this, really important, very basic, but very important point
and that is he cares about everything. He cares about everything. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And the reason he cares about everything in our lives is because he's family. My daughter lives in Flagstaff. She tells Cindy and I the smallest details about her grandkids. Some of you, when you're walking in, and I was on my phone talking to my daughter, this wasn't a small detail. They live in East Flag, and her husband, Mike, my son-in-law, was up changing a light bulb on their front porch, and a black bear ran right across the road in front of their place. So that was, but she'll call about the grandkids, and she'll you know, talk about the smallest little details in their life. And to you guys, now the bear, that's, you know, that gets a reaction from you guys. But if I was to tell you some of the stuff over the last couple of weeks that she's told me about our grandkids, you'd be just bored, you know, because it's just, to you, they're just kind of trivial bits of information that you could have done without knowing. But to us, to me and Cindy, even the smallest details are interesting to us because they're family, right? When we're born again, we become part of the family of God. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. After I got saved a long time ago, there was a song we used to sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, you know, joint heirs. That one. And so we need to know, it's good doctrine. We need to know we're part of the family. So I want you to say this with me. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now, as we say that, we need to believe it and not miss the point. And the point is that because we're part of God's family, he cares about even the smallest details of our lives. Cindy and I care about the smallest details about our grandkids' lives. We like hearing about it. God is our Father, and he cares about the most minute details of our lives. Matthew 10, verse 30 says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, Jesus shared this to illustrate straight a truth, and that is that everything that has to do with us concerns God. Even every single hair on our heads. Now, I know it's more of a challenge for him with some people than others. For him to keep track, you know, it's not with God. Anyway, I looked up on ask.com. The average person has 100,000 strands of hair. Good for you, you know that. But, you know, you think about it, God knows the exact number on each of our heads. You say, why would Jesus even point that out? The reason is to let us know he cares about the smallest detail. He cares because we're family. And because he cares, he listens when we pray. God isn't inattentive. His mind doesn't wander. I don't know about you, but practically every time I'm praying, my mind wanders. But God's paying attention, and so I have to rein my mind back in. When I'm talking with other people, sometimes my mind wanders. For those who don't know, some of you may have met her. If you're new,
came in tonight. My wife is Cindy. And sometimes when Cindy is talking to me, my mind wanders. I just go somewhere. And it's not because I don't love her or care about her. It's just because I'm a guy. That's my excuse. It's a bad excuse, terrible excuse. You guys need to pay more attention to your wives, I'm telling you. No, but, you know, fortunately, Cindy understands, and she is really patient. Thank you, Cindy. You get points. But God's mind never wanders. He's not hard of hearing. He hears, listen to this, this moves me. He hears even when we sigh. In Psalm 12, verse 5, it says, "For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns." That is so awesome. That God not only hears, he not only hears us when we pray, he not only hears our cries, he is paying so much attention to us that he even hears, and not just hears, he responds to a sigh. You know what a sigh is. And God responds. Isn't that wonderful? Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Listen, listen. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call." He cares and he listens when we talk to him. And so he cares, he listens, and he is willing to answer us. God is not reluctant about meeting our needs. And I know that there are sometimes we may kind of secretly wonder if God really wants to be bothered by us and our problems. I've had people tell me over the years at times, you know, well, I don't want to bother him. Bother him. You can't bother God. Well, never mind. That's another subject. But he wants us to come before him. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8. This is an interesting story, parable. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give you.' And I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." And so, you know, we can look at that and wonder about that what Jesus's point is. So it almost sounds like the point is God doesn't really want to be bothered, but if we will just keep on asking him, we can wear him down to where he'll finally just say, all right, you know. So listen, and some of you know this, we all need to know it. Jesus's point isn't this is how God is. He's like a guy that's sleeping soundly, and you just have to keep banging on the door long enough to wake him up, beg, plead, and convince, and then reluctantly, finally, he'll cave in and give you what you need. That's not our God. So this parable isn't a parable of comparison, or in other words, where Jesus is saying, this is how God is. It's not a parable of comparison. It's a parable of contrast. Really important. And the point was, if a reluctant friend will give, how much more will a willing God? So Jesus told this story for shock effect for his listeners.
In that time, it would have been unthinkable for a friend to refuse to get up, you know, for him to say what this guy said. Oh, I'm in bed. The kids are in bed. I can't get up. Or in other words, you know, I don't want to get up. You're bothering me. In their culture, this would have been an outrageous offense. It was a common thing in their day to have travelers come through their villages, and it was customary to help them, and would have been disgraceful to refuse even a stranger at midnight, and much more friend. And so, again, this wasn't a comparison that, you know, God is rude, he's reluctant, but if you nag him enough, you can wear him down and you can get something from him. Prayerfully, we get that he's not saying that. These folks in Jesus' time, excuse me, that he was talking to would have been shocked by the story, and that was his point. Just as it is unthinkable that a friend would show this kind of reluctance, it's unthinkable that God would. Now, there are some that harbor kind of a secret fear, and that is that God really may not want to be bothered by us, and it's just not true. It's unthinkable that God would be this way, that he would be reluctant or holding back. It's completely contrary to his nature and who he is. Okay? So, he cares, he listens, and he's willing. Now, Jesus in Luke 11 continues on to emphasize this point with the following verses in the story. And so he goes on after that parable, and he says these words in Luke 11, 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew chapter 7 is a parallel scripture with this. And in Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Every one of us who are parents, on our best day as a parent, our love is evil compared to God's. So how could we ever think that he doesn't care or isn't listening or that he's reluctant? We should never entertain those thoughts about God. Right. Because he cares, he listens, and he's willing. Tell yourself, he cares, he's listening, he's willing. Praise God. So, after all that, what does this have to do with peace? It has everything to do with peace. Because in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, again, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then, you get that? Do this. Pray about everything. Instead of worrying, tell God everything you need. Thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's pretty powerful. That's really powerful. If we're going to come to God about everything, then we have to know he cares, he listens, and he's willing. in the first part of Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching about how to pray. And he says in Luke 11, verse 2, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. He's not just creator. He's not just almighty. He's not just all powerful. He is all of those things. But Jesus, when he's teaching to pray, says, pray what? Our Father. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, he is Everlasting Father. You know what Everlasting Father means? It means that he never stops being a father to us. Everlasting. Now, we live in a time and in a day where a lot, and there are probably a number here that had experienced fathers that maybe were absent, and we're living in a time of absentee fathers where there are never-lasting fathers, dads that have abandoned their responsibilities. But we've got to know this about God. He is not a deadbeat dad. He won't abandon us. He will never leave us on his own. He's always there. He's always listening. He cares about the most minute details of our lives. And if we will pray about everything, we'll have a lot more peace. Because he's an everlasting father, he has an everlasting love. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So he never stops being a father, and therefore he never stops loving or caring for us. If we really believe this, we'll have more peace. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. He says, Therefore, do not worry, saying, What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, some, no doubt, here tonight are worried about some stuff. There are things on your mind, things are weighing in your heart. And so this is a thus saith the Lord to you, your heavenly Father knows. He knows, he cares, and he intervenes. In Psalm 65, verse 2, it says, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. So we need to learn to pray about everything. And Luke chapter 11, again, verse 2 through 4, Jesus is talking, says, He says to them, When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As Jesus, when Jesus gave the what we call the Lord's Prayer, it was a model of praying. In other words, it wasn't just something to be given that we pray specifically this prayer all the time and over and again. It was a model of prayer to show us what elements we are that God cares about and wants us to pray about while we're praying. And so it's as far-reaching as the eternal purposes of God's will in heaven and earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to the simplest or mundane things as our daily bread. And if we'll begin to pray about everything, we'll have a lot more peace. God cares about small things. Years ago, moved with my family to Malawi, Africa as a missionary. And we were concerned about security. There's a lot of crime in Malawi and even more now than when we lived there. But we were living in the biggest city in Malawi, in Blantyre. Got a house. It had a fence around it. But we were wanting several dogs, actually, just kind of for protection, because it helps to have a dog. And so had the kids pray. Daughter Laura and son Dan got them to pray with us and say, you know what, we need a dog. And so they prayed the night before we moved into this house. They prayed, God, give us a big dog. The next day, we heard about a dog that another family had, that they had some little kids, and this dog kept jumping up on them, and so they were just wanting to get rid of it, give it away, and it was perfect for us. So we were given this big dog the next day. It was a bull mastiff. She was huge. I mean, she's huge. And so the kids, the night before, prayed for a big dog, and the next day we got one of the biggest dogs in all of Africa. You know why? Because God cares. And see, my kids remember to this day. You don't forget lessons like that. If we'll pray about everything, we'll have more peace. And just kind of the rest of the story on the dog. The first night after we moved in, we had a block wall or a brick wall in front of our house. And on the sides and the back, it was chain link fence, high chain link fence. The first night when we got moved in, we had this dog, we called her Mesa, running around in the yard. The side fence, the next day we woke up and the side fence, chain link fence, had been cut. And somebody, we saw a footprint, one footprint on the inside, and then they took off because we had a big dog. So we need to learn to pray about everything. Anything that's messing with our peace, in our families, our jobs, our finances, health, when we're tempted, Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, to keep the devil off our backs. He says, you know, deliver us from the evil one. And so, listen, the next time something is really bothering you, remember this. That agitation that you're feeling is a call from your soul to pray. When you're feeling bothered, when you're anxious, when you're worried about something, what that is your soul is calling you to pray and saying you need to pray through on this. And praying through just simply means pray until peace returns. When things are bothering us, we have a tendency to worry, huh? It's kind of an instinct. And so in us, we have to cultivate and develop a new instinct, and that is when things are troubling, when things are bothering us, when we're losing sleep because we're worried about stuff, we need to pray about everything. I think when I started this series, I talked about there was a time, it was several weeks ago, where I had been for a couple of days, I'd just been kind of uptight, just anxious about stuff. And wasn't that anything really more was going on than just normal life and pastoring and the care of all of you and, no, that's, but you know, just pastor stuff and just dealing with life and all that. It wasn't that there was anything more than normal, but I realized I'd gone for a couple of days just feeling kind of, you know, And then after a couple of days, I realized, man, you do not have to keep living this way, feeling this way. And I began to stand against it, pray about it, rebuke it. And you know what? That thing broke. And so it's important for us to learn that as we are dealing with stuff, instead of just mulling it over, worrying about it, going over and over in our minds, what are we going to do, trying to figure out how we're going to get through, pray about everything. One last time, we're going to end early tonight. Somebody say, yay. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. Now, I want every one of you to say, that's the Word of God for me. It is. It's the Word of God for us. And if we'll dare to pray about everything, and I didn't go into the addition here with thanksgiving, but that's because that's a lesson study for another time. But as we're praying, and we're praying in faith, we pray with thanksgiving because we're already thanking God for the answer, right? And so we pray with thanksgiving, letting our request be made known to God, and the peace of God, surpassing all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. We need it. We're living in a time and a day where people are stressed out. And God's people, we as the people of God, don't have to live our lives constantly overwhelmed. We should not. We shouldn't settle for it. We need to contend for the peace of God that passes understanding. Jesus died and became, he is the Prince of Peace. He rules in our life with peace, and we shouldn't settle for anything less than that. Okay, so we're going to pray right now. I want you to just bow your head, if you would, and pray this out loud with me. Thank you, Jesus, for being my peace. Help me to pay attention to my soul. When I lack peace, my soul is telling me to pray. Thank you for caring about everything I care about. I will cast all my care upon you because you care for me. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just give the Lord a thank offering? Just praise him, thank him. Praise God. God bless you guys. If you are visiting for the first time tonight and haven't already, we have lessons 1 and 2 on the table where you picked up that one for this class tonight. You could pick that up on your way out. I encourage you to hang on to them, go through them, let it get in you, because peace is a promise. God bless you guys. Don't forget, next Wednesday night, no class. We'll resume the following Wednesday. Bless you. Hope to see you Sunday, 8:30, 10:30.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.